Nathan has risen. That's a real song, but not about Nathan. But research.
Good song.
All right.
Good song, brother.
We're going to sing some songs of kind of those highfalutin hymns.
Good ones.
But we're going to be talking about the tongue tonight, and these songs are related to letting God control our tongue. Praising God with our tongue.
Amen.
So let's sing number 10. O God, our help in ages past.
Don't hear you.
You're
not plugged in, right?
Yes, I am. Well, it's not my.
Is your battery dead?
No. You can give me another one, but I don't think that's it.
Hello, Jenny.
Hello.
Well, it's probably this cord. I don't know, honey. I'll turn this up. Wait, I can turn it up here. It's not making any difference.
Well, that's going to be...
It was on earlier. I don't know what happened. It was working. Do you have a battery? I can change it and try. Gotta let Johnny get in here anyway. Yeah, we're running late, so it's my fault.
Well, it's a bad battery, I believe.
We hope.
I heard a click. Must have been the battery. Batteries are great when they work. All right, page 10, as we welcome Johnny. Took that song and turned it into a more modern sounding. So the guy sang, oh God, I have been ages past. You know how they sing today? Kids loved it.
They did a decent rendition of that at the other place. They actually did.
Number 17. Six verses, but you know, there's only two stanzas, so it's kind of like three verses. Into bbfohio@protonmail.com. And those of you here know to get your prayer cards and fill them out if you're ready. brought up front.
Pastor, do you have mine?
No, I do not have. I only have one. It's not
yours.
You
don't have the one
for the minions? No. I can only say it in one language, but I can say
no.
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 Yeah. So get another card if you want to submit prayer requests.
Hey, Pastor, I want to teach you sign language for no.
Is that what that is?
This is yes, this is no.
All right, I'll try to remember that.
You know that now.
All right. Live stream volume, I think, is fine. The camera's on and... Johnny's the camera zoomed in everything.
Yeah.
Do a little sound check. Oh, I gotta put this.
Put myself in.
Oh, here. I'm just gonna. Sorry, hear me?
Thank you.
All right. All right.
There we go.
Hey, we are a well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
I'm joking.
Just took us about a year.
There's you some. To remind you to please silence your cell phone, Stephen. Oh yeah, Jessica was going to show you how to do that. See?
This one's good.
You come to church, you learn something, like how to turn off your cell phone ringer. I didn't look to make sure, but I know we're below or around 400 still, and this is our last few days in July. So grab yourself however many of these tracks, they're packets of 25, however many you think you can give out by the end of the month and help us out. As our goal is 1,000 in July, and we're down to 400. So it's the track from Chick Track called It's the Law. And we'll be up to 38,000 tracks after we get those out. All right, we'll hold questions and comments until the end of our current events update and our headline reviews in the news. Number one, Joe Biden's death to America policies. Enough is enough, said a GOP congressman. The headline is Mask Mandates for Vaxxed While Infected Illegals Flood the U.S.
That makes sense.
Now, that's exactly the point, is that anybody, I'll say that in a minute. I just want to quote Congressman Louie Gohmert. Quote, until the Biden administration stops the thousands of people with COVID, Chinese coronavirus, from pouring into our country illegally, then shipping them all over the country, and I should emphasize, then shipping them all over the country, we are going to continue to have waves of outbreak of COVID.
Of course.
And again, that's, it's common sense. And Joe Biden, as stupid as he is,
amen,
he is not that stupid. This is being done on purpose. This has the agenda is to destroy America as you know it. They want a globalist, one world government. They want America to be just one of the community of nations that operates under a Marxist policy. And to anyone who would ever watch this, I don't think we have any Marxists here, but anybody watching online, listen, when they come and kill you, just remember you're getting what you asked for. When they come and imprison you and your family, you're getting what you're asking for. Again, no one's that stupid. Anybody can look at history and see that Marxism results in you being killed, you being imprisoned, you living in poverty. There's no exception. No exception. There's not a single country or nation who ever went Marxist where there wasn't this higher class, a very select class, who lived high on the hog like they did at the Kremlin in the Soviet Union. And then the rest of the country lived in poverty. You know, in China, people have this idea that the Chinese are somehow enjoying prosperity. It's the government that's enjoying prosperity. The Chinese government functions just like Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. They are using capitalism in order to make money to kill capitalism. And that's what they're doing in China. This is all by design. And it's been going on. You know, when I first got saved, I was told, watch out for those conspiracy theorists. And so people like Bill Cooper and Alex Jones in the early 90s when he first started making his name, Ron Paul even was lumped in with those groups. Now, you know, I don't agree with everything those guys ever stood for, but when it comes to the globalist conspiracy, they were all right. They were right on. And we've just watched it for 30 plus years now. In my lifetime, I've watched it for 30 plus years now. Proverbs 29:2 says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. You realize the suicide rate is higher now than it's ever been? Why is that? Because of the agenda of the leftist Democrat and rhino progressives. They all have a godless agenda. And it includes, you throw God out, you have a God-shaped vacuum, then you try to fill it with being a sodomite. You try to fill it with drugs. You try to fill it with this political activism nonstop 24/7. And you end up dead. Dead inside, and then that's why you can kill yourself. You don't care anymore. And that's what that agenda is producing in America today. It's why the suicide rate is that high. Number two, COVID gene therapy facts. Facts your news propaganda outfits will not tell you. We've mentioned some of these before, but we're going to repeat them here. Pfizer, $4.7 billion in fines for false claims, drug and medical equipment safety violations, off-label promotion, corrupt practices, kickbacks, and bribery. Pfizer. That's one of the people who are giving this shot to people that has not been FDA approved, which really means nothing, but it has not been tested. It has not gone through the normal testing that vaccines go through. It is not a vaccine in the historic sense, saved at the end. And it is a gene therapy experiment. On top of the fact you're talking about this company that's been fined billions of dollars. And keep in mind the commie capitalists at Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, Google will block this information or ban those who post it. You're not in a free country anymore. America is not a free country. We are under a what you call a fascist, communist sort of setup. Fascism was basically where the corporations were in bed with the government. Well, that's what Facebook is. If you haven't read the headlines this week, the White House is telling Facebook what posts to take down, what people to ban. That's fascism by definition. And that's any truth, any facts you try to put out on social media, doesn't matter whether it's true. We live in an Orwellian cult. And what you say, whether it's true or not, can only be posted if it goes along with the government thugs who tell you what to think and say. You go against the government thugs. You know what cracks me up is you see all these people like, they're nonconformists, you know. We're going against the, you know, we're too cool to go with along with everything. We're going to stand against it. They're all a bunch of conformists. They're all bowing the knee to the government in lockstep, doing everything they're told. These people, these social activists, they're not rebels. They're conformists, and they're sheeple who can't think for themselves. And that's what's going on in our country. Moderna has never brought a vaccine to market since its founding, despite fielding 9+ vaccine candidates, none of which made it through phase 3 clinical trials. Wait a minute. Phase 3 clinical trials is what any real vaccine has to go through before they jab you with it. None of the vaccines they're jabbing people with today have gone through those trials. And the FDA is talking about approving it so that they can have a stamp on there that says approved. If the approval doesn't involve the clinical trials, the approval means nothing. It's empty. It's meaningless. But that's, this time Moderna got it right.
Yeah, right.
Right? We don't know. They didn't even have to go through the clinical trials this time. Johnson & Johnson has been named in hundreds of thousands of lawsuits for toxic and or dangerous products, including drugs, shampoos, medical equipment, and asbestos-contaminated baby powder. Get your shot there. True story. And finally, the fourth major vaccine provider, AstraZeneca, was suspended by 24 European countries due to severe lethal adverse reactions like blood clots, the actual shot they've given out. Nothing you see here.
Nope.
So, listen, I don't ask. I don't know how many of you have gotten the shot. I don't know how many people online have gotten the shot. I know some people who have. And I hope that it turns out you're fine. I'm not telling anybody not to get the shot. See, I'm American. I believe in freedom.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe you should be informed of this. You should know what you're doing when you get that shot. And I'm here to tell you, your government doesn't want you to do your homework. And you better say, you know, red flag when you see that. Finally, number three, our federal government is operating like a communist regime. Protesters shut down a GOP press conference. They were probably CIA and FBI employees, protesters. Because you know, on January 6th, a lot of them were FBI. A lot of them were CIA. It's proven. It's a fact. And they shut down a GOP press conference, and all the press conference was doing was shedding light on the mistreatment of January 6th nonviolent detainees. There were people arrested on January 6th who didn't, there's no evidence they committed any acts of violence. They're still in prison. That doesn't happen in a free country, folks. That's communism. But as long as most people can continue to go to their jobs and, you know, pay their bills and eat, you know, eat food and go out to eat and all that, they'll just keep on not saying a thing. You know how I know that? I'm not describing America. I was describing Germany in the 1930s.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm describing what it was like in Russia before the Bolshevik Revolution. Describing what it was like in Venezuela before their big revolution that now has them eating their pets. That's where we're going. Communist operatives don't want the nation at large to find out about their abuse of U.S. citizens detained for trumped-up charges related to the PSYOP they call an insurrection, January 6th. Anybody who calls what happened on January 6th an insurrection is a liar.
Amen.
They are a liar. Go read a history book, why don't you? These people calling it an insurrection. There's never been an insurrection that didn't involve an attempt to kill people. And you can't find any evidence on January 6th that there was any of those protesters trying to kill any congressman.
Amen.
Ashley Babbitt was gunned down by a man who was not under any threat. And you are not allowed to know his name. That woman was shot down unarmed. And your fake communist news media don't even ask the question. And we need to be telling our loved ones, our relatives, our friends, everybody, if you don't understand what's going on in this country, you're a dupe.
Amen.
You're a fool.
Amen.
We're losing our country.
Yep.
Yep.
And I've made this known. I don't care what anybody thinks about it. I don't want anything to do with anybody who isn't standing up against this today.
Amen.
I said this when I first got saved. I said, if I lived in Germany when they were doing this to the Jews and they were taking away the rights of the people, I would have stood up. And a bunch of other people who I knew at that time said, so would I. They're a bunch of fakes, cowards, and liars. They're not standing up. We get kicked off one radio station, we'll get kicked off another, so be it.
Amen.
But we're going to keep telling the truth. As long as we can lift our voice, we're going to lift it.
Amen.
And I believe January 6th was a government-controlled PSYOP.
What's PSYOP mean?
Psych operation. It wasn't what they're saying it is. We've shown you the videos. where they invited the people into the White House, into the Capitol building, I'm sorry. We showed you the videos. It's not an opinion, it's not hearsay. They opened the doors and said, they have a guy with a mask on running out there, open up and waving everybody in. And some of your friends and neighbors are still so stupid that they can see that with their own eyes and still call it an insurrection. You better wake up to some of your relatives and friends and how stupid they are. Because they'll call on you when the time comes. They'll turn you in. I've been saying this for years and we'll keep saying it. I don't want you to be foolish. I want you to understand that if your friends and relatives and loved ones aren't standing up against this, they're a danger to you. You keep preaching the gospel to them. You keep praying for them. But you better be smart. You better watch what you say around them.
Amen.
It's coming down to, I believe it's coming down to crunch time. And I'm going to stand before God and give an answer to whether or not I was up here playing patty cake like most preachers today or whether I told you the truth.
Amen.
I'm more than happy to play patty cake after hours. But during our meetings, and we're having our current events updates and Bible studies, you're going to hear the truth.
Amen.
And you know what? Every chance I get, if I get around any of these preachers who aren't telling people the truth, I'm going to tell them. Shame on you, coward. Get out of that pulpit and put a real man up there.
Amen.
If you can fight them.
Yeah, they're getting scarce. We're prepping for the incarceration and abuse. We as a nation, I say. The incarceration and abuse of those who reject the mark in the tribulation. You see, when the beast comes and he forces everybody to take a mark, if you don't, they're going to incarcerate you and they're going to abuse you. They're going to then eventually cut your head off if you don't take the mark. This is all setting the stage for that. It's conditioning everybody for that.
Yeah.
Just a second. Well, good timing, Mark.
Yeah, two things. This thing with COVID and the shots and everything is just a test run for the mark.
Yeah, and I'm not correcting you, Mark, but we've been saying that week after week. Yeah. I hope everybody's got that settled. And every bit of this is building the whole thing up so that it can be implemented.
And also, and the BLM was heavily involved with that January 6th.
Yes, Antifa, BLM, Democrat operatives, CIA, FBI, they've all been proven to be there and be a part of. Brian?
I just have an interesting comment following up on what he said. I have friends that aren't saved, and they basically say the same thing.
Yeah.
They say, I just feel like this is a conditioning, the vaccine, if you want to call it that, the conditioning for something more, a big power grab.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just Christians that are noticing it.
Yeah. And if you get a chance to talk to somebody like that and just say, well, that's why you need to make sure you're saved.
Yeah.
Better make sure you're saved and ready. Jessica?
Well, first thing I had about Pfizer, you said a $4.7 billion.
5.7, something like that.
Well, I wrote it down.
Okay.
Anyway, so they've been fined?
Yeah.
Are they paying?
I don't know if they've paid it or not.
Who fined them?
The government.
But they're making billions off the...
The government fined them for being a bunch of crooks and doing dirty things, dirty schemes and all this. And then when this COVID thing, the government said, ooh, our savior.
Yeah.
And then I had about the guy who was ushering people in.
Several.
Yeah, who were they?
Well, I don't know their names. They were Capitol policemen. They were the police who were...
Who
they now have parading these guys. By the way, this black guy in there saying they were calling him the N-word and all that. He's a liar.
Yeah,
if you see him, tell him I said so. Yeah. They've got thousands of bits of video and audio, and no one has come up yet with anybody calling any of the Capitol policemen by the N-word and saying the things he said. He's a liar. Yeah, Stephen? Yeah. Nathan?
On the January 6th riots, I actually found a video that a friend showed me saying that Trump's telling us to go home. I know you're...
Yeah.
Well, since you're saying that this riot was a setup and a fake, do you think Trump
No. No, I think that, I'll be honest with you, I respect Donald Trump more than most of our presidents in my lifetime. But I think Donald Trump's been a sucker.
Yeah, amen.
I think he's a sucker on the vaccine itself. Mm. I think he was a sucker on January 6th. People tried to tell him, and he wouldn't believe that these people were that evil, that wicked. And so he went up there and gave that speech and said he was going to march up there, and he repeatedly said peaceably. And then when they told him that there was this stuff going on, he tweeted out and said, well, you need to go home. But he had people telling him, and folks, I said the same thing on people in MeWe and other places contacted me. I said, I'm not going there. I said, I think it's crazy. I think it's a setup.
Yep.
I'm not a prophet. I just had some common sense there. And I said, it's a setup. And there were plenty of red flags before January 6th that it was a setup. And it turned out to be what?
A setup. The question is, why is it wrong with what happened at the Capitol, but these Antifa could go in and destroy cities?
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
People die. Property gets destroyed.
Brian, let me answer that in this way. That's how you know that all the people in your life, and I'm talking to everybody here, all the people in our lives who are not telling the truth about this, they are willingly lying. No one's that stupid. Everybody knows what Antifa and BLM did. And everybody knows by comparison, there's really no comparison. So anybody to pretend that what happened on January 6th was somehow worse or even close to being equal to what happened during the summer is a bald-faced liar. You better not turn your back to them. They'll stab you in the back as soon as they get a chance.
The free zone of Chaz or whatever.
Yeah.
That's insurrection.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was. Yeah.
Yeah. And they were literally shooting cops. Of course, the fake news media came out, and they're still trying to pretend that one or more of the cops there were killed by the protesters, and they weren't. One man had a stroke, and they claimed that he was killed by the crowd there, and so forth. Yeah, Nathan, this will be our last one, and we'll move on.
On top of his comments, you can tell that the January 6th was fake, because compared to that January 6th riot and the BLM riot, those guys were even trying to compare to the BLM.
Yes. That's what I said. Listen, folks, if January 6th had really been an insurrection with even a million, not 70 million, just 1 million Trump supporters showing up with guns, they would have taken over Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
Now, the military could have come and blown most of them up afterwards, but that would have been an insurrection. Yeah. What you saw on January 6th was a Sunday school picnic gone bad.
Yeah.
That's all it was. And all these people, that Adam Kinzinger. If I weren't in the pulpit right now, I'd call him a name.
Ooh.
Some people use it about kitty cats. I'll leave it at that. That man, I'm telling you, that Kinzinger is a scumbag. You better watch that guy. Because if he stays in power, because he represents a rhino territory, so he'll probably be reelected. That guy's going to be as much trouble as Bill Clinton ever was. He's a young, well-spoken scumbag, just like Bill Clinton. So, now I got you all warmed up for Jenny. Tonight's Bible study is about the tongue. And there's a time to use it. And then there's a time... Well, we'll talk about more of it. But I love the message of this song that she wrote. I was sitting there thinking about it today. I said, Jenny, you wrote a song about this. And she had to think about it for a minute. All that will remain.
Worthless and we'll
All right, we're going to open with a word of prayer. And Brother Mark, it's your last Wednesday of freedom.
Yeah.
We'll have Brother Mark open the Bible study with prayer.
Lord, we just thank you for the purpose together, the life before you, and so forth. And pray for this teaching tonight that will be very powerful, very educational for all of us. Thank you for this day, and pray that you empower the pastor tonight for a really good message out there. And also look forward to better days ahead. Rapture when it comes.
Amen.
And I believe it's soon. It can't get too much worse, but you never know. But anyways, Jesus, we just thank you for our lives to be able to hear the teaching tonight. Your son's name,
amen. Amen. All right, we're in James chapter 3. James chapter 3, beginning verse 3. The tongue is a fire. That can be good or bad, by the way. James 3, 3 through 8. I'm going to have you read the even verses with me. So I'll begin in verse 3. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. God's people say amen.
Amen.
I think I'm going to cut it off at verse 6 tonight. But when we pick up next week, you'll see it carries on with some of the same thought. But we now deal with a big problem for us humans, a thing called the tongue. And I think everyone here's got one. Amen? You all got a tongue? So verse 3 begins by saying, Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. And it truly is an amazing thing if you think about it. How many of you have been on a big horse? Everybody been on a big horse? I remember the first time I got on a big horse. I was raised around horses down in southern Ohio. People had horses, but I didn't have one of my own. And I never got on a real big one. I got on those things they have sometimes at the amusement parks and that sort of thing. Then I was about 16. And we went out to Pennsylvania, and actually at a horse farm where they were planning a church out there. We spent a week there on a mission trip and did a lot of hard work and everything. And one of the rewards was we got to ride on a big old horse. And I want to tell you, I thought I was John Wayne until I got on that big old horse. That's a scary beast. I mean, those things have muscles the size of my body in one hip. I mean, it's like, probably the closest thing to a dinosaur, you know, that we're going, a T-Rex or whatever, you know, a big animal like that. I'm glad they just have those little mouths. You know, they don't have like crocodile mouths. I would never get one of those if they had one of those mouths. I mean, these are massive, strong animals. And until you get around them and really see it, you kind of take it for granted. But then you have a little thing in their mouth that you put in there, and that thing, that little thing right there, controls that big, huge animal. Just a little bit. And Then verse 4. It says, "Behold also the ships, which, though they be so great, are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth." Again, I've seen ships on TV, you know, the Lumberjack, you know, and see that. We lived in an area near Greenup Dam, and they had a dry dock there. And so a couple times we were able to see these big ships. Most of the time are the what do they call them?
Barges.
And it was, you know, from a distance. But then you get up there in the dry dock and you see these things are massive. And then when I went to Florida, I got to walk along the side of one of those big cruise ships. It's bigger than the town I grew up in. Yeah. I mean, these things are massive. And if the helm goes, the ship goes out of control. Well, then when you see what a helm is, the instrument by which a ship is steered, consisting of a rudder, a tiller, and in large vessels, a wheel. That's the helm. But if you ever get to sea, this is one going into dry dock. That little thing down there on the end, behind the fan, propeller, that thing controls that ship. And in a second, you'll see the pan a little bit, just a little bit of this huge ship. And that huge ship is controlled by that little thing in the water. And look, it's not very big. I mean, it doesn't even seem like it moves very much in the water. And yet it controls that thing. How many of you have seen that up close and personal? You ever got to see that? You ever get a chance to go to anywhere where they have a dry dock and they have, make sure it's one of these big ships? You see how tiny the people are on that thing. And then and see that. It's just amazing. But then verse 5 says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth." Now, this is how weird human beings are. But there are people who actually became somewhat famous due to the size of their tongue. You remember Kiss fans out there, Gene Simmons?
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course that gets into raunchy stuff and everything like that. But it was just, that's how weird human beings are. Having a long tongue, and that was one of his claims to fame. And it's weird, but I was doing a search for something else related to the tongue. And these images came up. And by the way, you better have your safe search on. I have mine on safe. I don't want to see all that nasty stuff. But even with the safe search on, all these pictures of these people trying to demonstrate they have long tongues on Instagram, you know. And they bragging about the fact they've got these massive long tongues. And how many of you know people are weird? You know that? That's just weird. Of course, we're a good weird. You know, we're weird. You're all weird. But we're all strange, but we're a good weird, I guess, put that way.
Yes.
But the imagery of the bit in the horse's mouth and the helm and the big, huge ship is proportional. Because look at you. I mean, here you are, all of this, and that little tongue right there, that little flappy thing that flaps too much for most of us. You know, most of us have to keep it under control. Just that little tiny tongue. And all of us at times need to put our tongue on ice. Look what it says. It kindleth. It says, a great matter, a little fire kindleth. Meaning the tongue itself being compared to as a fire. And it kindles. You just think about through, if any of you have read history, you'll find times where, well, that was the big thing. Was it World War II? Loose lips sink ships, but the tongue was the issue, not the lips. I mean, you take away the tongue and the lips can't do anything but blah, 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 blah. Add that tongue and suddenly you can, Johnny.
And maybe you were already going to mention this, but that's where you get the phrase, the pen is mightier than the sword.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's also related
to communication, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that came up that I thought was very strange is how many interviews there are with actors and actresses who talk about having to kiss as part of their part in it. And then so many of the movies now, they're having to French kiss these people and the tongue and all that. And so you're all talking about that. And, you know, some of these people haven't even already known each other. They just met. And you just think about that tongue. In so many ways, the tongue can be a really bad thing. And it can affect your body in so many bad ways. One lady was talking about how when she did this one movie, the man that she was going to kiss, she had never even met him before. And the first scene they were in together, they had to kiss, and he asked her to put Neosporin on her lips. Neosporin is an antibacterial, antibiotic or whatever. Why? Well, because, you know, if the person doesn't take care of themselves or has some kind of disease, you know, it can be a bad thing.
Yeah.
Doug, what was you going to say?
It's too bad that Charles isn't here. He would let you know the
bacterial
regard.
Yeah.
He's online.
Yeah. Yeah, our in-house dentist could give us plenty of information on the time. Yeah. I don't want to get too involved here, but, you know, one of the things, I know a few of you have read enough church history to know that one of the things they did to the Christians was rip their tongue out. Because those people were kindling a good fire. They were preaching the gospel and preaching against error and heresy. And so what do? They rip their tongue out. And a lot of them, they do that and then let them live. And they walk around the rest of their lives unable to talk. Satan understands the power of your tongue. And one way or another, he wants to get that tongue either silent or vile. And that's what we have to... every once in a while, I'll have somebody say something to me like, you know, well, the way you're talking, I don't see a lot of love. I said, well, you don't understand what love is then. Because we love you enough to tell you the truth.
Amen.
What I like to do with these people, and yes, I do gain some satisfaction out of this, I'll admit. But I like to say, now, do you believe Jesus was loving? Yes. You don't think Jesus would talk to people like that? Absolutely not. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 23. And just read about the love of Jesus in Matthew 23. I understand when you read Matthew 23 and the other passages, and he's telling these people that they're hypocrites, that they're a child of hell. And he's saying all these things to them. Do you realize Jesus loves them enough to tell them that? There's too many Christians who don't understand that sometimes when you love somebody, you're going to say something to them that is going to make them hate you. Jesus made people hate him so much they murdered him. Are you saying he didn't love them? Well, if Jesus had been more loving, maybe they wouldn't have killed him. Well, wait a minute. They say that about other Christians who are simply standing up and preaching the truth. Well, maybe if Jesus, if it's Fred or Gary or whoever, Greg, Johnny, Mark, Doug, whatever, put in Jesus' name in there too. Maybe if Jesus hadn't have been so mean, they wouldn't have killed him, right? No, that's not right. As a matter of fact, one of the things you'll notice as you go through the Gospels, you know, Jesus was very nice for a good while. But as time went on and they rejected him and they rejected him, he realizes he's speaking to swine.
Yeah.
And that's why Jesus later said, don't cast your pearls before swine. Who's he talking about? The very same people that he's rebuking in Matthew 23. And so I'm not telling you that the first or second or third time you talk to somebody that you lay it out and flatten them. But I am saying there does come a time that you just have to tell people. Tell it like it is. And like I said here, all of us at times need to put our tongue on ice. Amen?
Amen.
Just don't lick a frozen pole. Because that's not the way to put your tongue on ice. I think the way you put your tongue on ice is to pray and make sure you're in accordance with God's word. And ask God, if you know you've lashed out, it could be to your spouse. Mark and Jessica and I have been premarital counseling. And I've told them that, you know, any normal couple is going to have times where they get a little snippy with each other. One preacher, he said this is a true story. He said a lady and another man were standing there and talking to him, and he had made a comment like I just did. That, you know, if you're married, you're going to have times where you get under each other's skin. You might get snappy at each other, whatever. And she boasted, "We've been married for 40 years and have never fought once." And that preacher, without missing a beat, said, "Well, I'm sorry to hear you haven't spoken in 40 years." She's looked at him. And he says, "Ma'am, I'm here to tell you that if you have any kind of communication and you live together, you're going to have some disagreements." And so he didn't call her a liar, but he kind of did. So we come up to verse 6 then. It says, "And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity." It doesn't mean the tongue is always that way. And the tongue doesn't have to be that way. But James is talking to people that he figures is being honest. And if any of us are honest, we know that that's where the tongue leads us a lot of times. And we witness it a lot, where the tongue leads us. A fire, a world of iniquity. Just think of all the reputations destroyed. Yeah. Think of the verbal abuse that's gone on in homes, between couples, parents to children, and children to parents. Yeah. You can see that a lot of times just going to the grocery store. The different ways of verbal abuse. The different ways that people have destroyed one another. Then you also think of so many times where maybe in your own life someone's come up to you and said the right thing at the right time. How many of you just had somebody walk up to you and say, "You know, I love you." Or just walk up and say, "You know what? I just want you to know I'm praying for you." What a little thing to say.
Amen.
A word fitly spoken.
Yeah. What is it? The proverb says
like... A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver.
Yeah. Did you hear that in the back?
Yeah.
Isn't that good? You know, as a pastor, I don't even want flattery. But I can tell you there's times where things are getting a little rough. Things get, you know, there's a lot of preachers who are burnt out. Some of them brought it on themselves, but some of them are just burnt out, you know, by the things going on in their local church and in their home and in the world and everything. It just drives them down, just beats them down. And then someone comes up to them and just says, "You know what? Your ministry's meant a lot to me." And some of you here, I'm not going to say who and how many or whatever like that, but some of you here have done that for me, and I appreciate it. And you can do that for one another as well. Not just the preacher, you know, the pastor's wife. I've heard some of you come up and say things like that to Jenny, and it makes me smile. one another, as we've done things just in this building or done things one for another. Encouragement. It's great, isn't it? But, you know, if you're just always saying it and you don't mean it, it has no meaning. But if you mean it, you say it when it really means something. That's what God's calling on us to do. But the tongue is a potentially deadly member of our body. That's what James is telling us and what we have to keep in mind. "So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. And setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." You know, Jesus said you'll be judged by your words. Mm-hmm. Where do those words come from? The tongue. It comes from the heart and the mind, but it comes through the tongue. Just because something's on your mind doesn't mean you have to spout it. You know, the book of Proverbs says the fool says everything he thinks. There's plenty of times where the wise man thinks something and thinks better of it. Like, you know, when your wife is worried about something and you're just like, you know, settle down. No.
Doesn't work.
That comes to your head, Mark. Don't say it. There's just times where you'll think something of somebody and you won't say it. Now, you got to be careful with that. There's times where you should, but there's times you shouldn't. That takes wisdom. That's why we're making our 5-minute Proverbs devotionals every morning to just help people. And it's been a great response from people saying, oh, wow, that was just the right time, just the right thing. Oh, that helped me understand something I never understood before. That's the whole point. We're to help one another, iron sharpeneth iron, so we can be, not that you can be a wise blankety blank, a Weisenheimer, but so you can be wise. Amen? So the effect of the tongue can be immediate or long-term effects, by the way.
Yeah.
For example, examples of immediate impact. Go into a crowded room and yell, fire. You get something, I don't know if it was that what caused the Who thing? Something at one time in my lifetime, someone was in a big crowd and they started yelling there was a fire or something and everybody trampled each other.
Cincinnati, 1979.
Yeah. I can tell you, 9/11, you know, we're in Columbus, Ohio. We're not even in New York. And I was in a building with 30 so stories. And rumor got it that there were more planes, and the planes were just hitting big buildings. And so where I worked, they said, you know, if you want to go home, everybody's free to go home. And there were people actually running out of there, hurt themselves getting out of that building in Columbus, Ohio. There was, you know, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
Some loose lips scaring people. Somebody come in our area and said, they're telling everybody to go home. And I was like, what? And we're looking out the windows. That's the kind of thing. I saw a video, it's several years ago, but I saw a video of a man on a ledge and the people down below yelling, jump, jump, jump. Thankfully, he didn't, but I've heard there's times where people have seen someone on the ledge and they yell, jump, jump, and the person jumps.
That's wicked.
Yeah. Of course, yelling, crucify him. To a falsely accused man in 30 AD.
That's
right. I hope those people got saved, brother.
Amen.
Because if they went to hell, they're going to remember for all of eternity, they were one of the people yelling out, crucify him, to the one who could have saved them. That's just something to think about. Oh, here's examples of long-term impact then. Your tongue, verbal abuse of others, as we talked about. There are people who throughout their entire adult lives are trying to deal with the verbal abuse they experienced in the first 10, 20 years of their life. Think of that.
Yeah.
Gossip, lies, and slander. There are a couple of young ladies that I know who's in where I grew up. Their reputations were destroyed. And they were lies. And even after people, it got around that it was a lie, there were still people who held on to that lie about that person.
That's how they live in politics all the time.
Yeah, politics, same thing. You know, that's, some of you know that I was not a Trump fan in the summer of 2016. But people kept saying he was saying these things. Like that all Mexicans are rapists. And what are some of the other things? You all remember what some of they were saying about, they would quote him.
The good people in Charlottesville.
Yeah, that was a little later, but in Charlottesville, when he said that white supremacists and separatists and racists were good people, which is not what he said. So you see, that's what drew me in. I was defending him by saying, you know, I'm not a fan of this guy, but what you're saying about him isn't true. I was a Rand Paul flag waver, by the way, at that time. And then when Rand Paul dropped out, that's when I got on the Trump train. But, you know, when you lie about somebody, but hey, I've told you, I've done that with, you know, like Barack Obama. There's a video going around of Barack Obama making it look like he was overseas telling the world we need to get rid of all our freedoms and all this stuff. Someone took a video and edited it to make it sound like he was saying that. And what's been just so aggravating for me is even when I prove it to some people, they continue to share that false video.
Yeah.
People call themselves conservatives. Listen, folks, I'm on the side of the truth. And if the guy's wrong on the other side, I don't have to lie. The truth defeats him. But that's what you get. And then there's those preaching a false gospel or presenting a false Jesus. That has eternal long-term impact.
Yeah.
We got whole cults, religions with millions of people going around knocking on doors, telling people lies about Jesus and preaching a false gospel. But then you got people who, you know, not even involved in some kind of religion. And then you talk, bring up Jesus, and they'll tell you things that just absolutely aren't true. So the tongue has always been one of Satan's best weapons.
Yeah.
Your mission, if you choose to accept it, is to not allow him to use your tongue.
Okay.
Scripture with scripture. We're going to close this out, but I just want to say this last thing. The law first mentioned, we must separate the word tongue as a language, like tongues, and the tongue as a body part, a member. The first mention of the tongue is of a language. So the law first mentioned, people say this, but this isn't the same thing. This is about tongue as a language in Genesis 10:5. Remember, by these were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, everyone after his tongue. And that's talking about language. That's not the same usage of the word. So the law first mentioned... Oh, by the way, even then it was a source of division in languages. But the second mention of the word tongue is our usage here, and it's of the member of the body, the physical body. And that's where in Genesis 10, or that's not the right, it's Exodus. I think it's Exodus. I can't remember the exact, look that up. Exodus chapter 1. And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue.
Exodus 4:10.
Yeah.
So there Moses used his tongue as an excuse not to heed God's call. I think I've heard this from more Christians of all the excuses not to obey God when it comes to using your tongue, preaching the gospel, talking to people about the Lord, confronting people about sin, taking a stand, whatever it is, the tongue, and they always use this excuse, I'm shy, I'm backwards, that's not me. It's exactly what Moses did. And God said, who made the tongue? God made the tongue. And if God says you can use it, you can use it. Amen?
Amen.
So the cure for a wicked tongue was demonstrated in the last words of King David. We'll close by reading this. 2 Samuel 23, in the last words of King David. Right at the beginning. Verses 1 through 3. Say, how do you know these are the last words of David? Read with me, verse 1. Now these be the last words of David. David the son of Jesse said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel said. Now it's all about David. He made some mistakes, don't you? That's the forgiveness and mercy of God right there.
Yeah.
And the last words in verse 2. Read that. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. His word was in my tongue. The God of Israel said, the Rock of Israel spake to me. He that ruleth over men must be just, ruling in the fear of God. Look at that. His word was in my tongue. That's how simple it is. You want your tongue to be used of God. You want your tongue to be under control. You want your tongue to be something that brings glory to God. His word. His word. His word. Any time and every time you are able to simply share His word. When someone asks you a question, your first response shouldn't be, well, I think. No, the first thing you should think is, what does God say? Mm-hmm. One of the greatest compliments you'll ever get from people is when they say, give me your opinion and stop quoting the Bible. How many of you had that done? You ever did it? Yeah. I don't want to give you my opinion. You don't want my opinion. When I can tell you what God's word says, that's what I should tell you. And people look at it because they don't want to hear God's word. And I say, just give me your opinion and don't quote the Bible. I had some guy want to put me on a podcast. He had a pretty big audience years ago. He wanted to debate me. But his rule was no Bible. I said, so you're conceding defeat if I use the Bible.
Amen.
Yeah. He was conceding defeat if I use the Bible, so he wanted to cut my legs out from under me and not allow me to use the Bible. We never had the debate because I never would agree to that. Ever.
Amen.
His word was in my tongue. You ought to underline that. You know, put that in your mind. The Spirit of the Lord spake by it. You realize when you do that, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking by you. It's not you. It's not your word. It's God's word. There's no better sense of closeness to the Lord and purpose and being used by God than when someone asks you a question and you can say, well, the Bible says.
Yeah.
If you remember, whether they reject it or receive it is beside the point. At that moment, the Spirit of the Lord is speaking by you. And His words are in your tongue. You have that privilege and honor. We all have that privilege and honor if we'll take advantage of it. And when God has our tongue, we will speak according to His word. Amen?
Amen.
If God has your tongue, if you have given yourself over to Him, including your tongue, then He will, or we will, speak according to His word. All right, so we'll pick up there next time. You spring a leak. You ever just,
I'm quietly laughing.
Why?
I am enjoying your creativity and your clever way of connecting okay. The sermon to what we're about to do.
I thought I did something wrong. That's,
oh, no.
When you go, psst.
What? There's all right.
When people hiss, it's usually because they don't like what's going on. You know that.
I'm not a snake, dude.
Anyway, as we close, let's use our tongues to praise Him. Page 464 in your hymn book. All God's people say, if you can, stand. I get your prayer request in to bbfohio@protonmail.com. Janie is collecting the cards here in the house. We'll say goodbye to the folks online on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air. God bless every single one of you. Do hope to see you in the air.
Sooner.